This week saw the federal government hear from 400 experts, advocates and people with lived experience of violence against women. The National Summit on Women's Safety was a long-awaited chance for voices to be heard and advice to be given over the new national plan to end violence against women and children. With criticisms over the lack of inclusion of diverse voices, now that the summit has concluded, where to from here in the fight to end gender-based violence? Public calls for action around the safety of women in Australia over the past year have been loud and unrelenting. This week saw one of the federal government's attempts to respond to such calls, the National Summit on Women's Safety. Spanning across 2 days, the summit saw almost 400 researchers, advocates and organisations come together to discuss how we can end violence against women and children. So with the long-awaited summit now over, what actions can we expect to emerge on this issue? Dr. Lisa Hooker is a senior research fellow at La Trobe University.
Earlier this year, we completed a significant piece of research for the Department of Social Services. What we're asking is a national sexual violence and harassment primary prevention policy with improved legislation and regulations throughout.
Dr. Hooker was encouraged by the focus on education at the summit, but says her research suggests education is not the only pathway.
Was an emphasis on education, and while it's a really significant part to addressing the intergenerational aspect of sexual violence and harassment, I think it's not the only aspect. It has to be combined with significant policy change, but really early as well, to address attitudes from the very beginning, beyond education that we currently provide in high school or at the university level, where it's really far too late.
Dr. Kylie Cripps is a Sentia Fellow and Senior Lecturer in the Law Faculty at the University of New South Wales. Dr. Cripps is a co-convener of the university's Gendered Violence Research Network. She says that an emphasis on trauma-informed policy is key coming out of the summit and into the next national plan.
The experience of violence is harming. When we look at the impact of violence, it impacts every element of a person's life. It impacts the life decisions that they're going to make now and into the future. That one interaction with a person that's unsafe is going to stay with them forever. And so we really do need to think about how we provide support that is trauma-informed and that recognises that the violence and its repercussions stay with people over their life course.
She wants to see the summit motivate changes to address the issues of housing for women and children affected by violence.
For me, one of the things that stays with me the most is the issue around housing. Many in our country will be turned away from a safe house tonight because they are at capacity. I hope that the message that they received at the summit is that we need to make sure there are beds available at that crisis point and beds available at the transition and in the long-term housing market as well, and that housing is affordable.
For Dr. Hooker, the achievement of the summit lay largely in its evidence of the continued momentum for change.
Again, there's been criticism about the summit and that it's just rhetoric and it's not actually going to go anywhere. But I think it's been very pleasing to bring it all together. What I got out of it was that women are still really passionate about this, that women are angry still about this, and that they want to see the Morrison government actually do something, actual action on these issues rather than talking. Talking's done, talking's good, but let's have some action now.
With the National Women's Safety Summit ending, those involved in the fight to end violence against women are now looking towards the next national plan, set to begin in 2023.
I think in the next plan we definitely have to have a focus on sexual violence and harassment. The National Action Plan to Reduce Violence Against Women and Children is very specific around domestic or family violence in particular, and often sexual violence gets lumped in with that. So I want to see a specific focus on sexual violence and harassment primary prevention.
The closing statement from the delegates of the summit outlined a wide set of priorities for the next national plan, including primary prevention, long-term bipartisan investment, and importantly, a recognition that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples must lead responses for their communities. Dr. Cripps says empowering communities has not had enough focus, and she hopes to see this change.
When I go out into the community and I sit with the women and I sit with the kids of the future, but I also sit with the men, you know, there's stories of resilience, there's stories of hope, there's stories of surviving the experiences that they've been through. There's stories of imagining what the world will be in the future. And, you know, let's hear from them and let's resource them to create the safer places in their communities.
Ending violence against women in Australia is a monumental and confronting task. But Dr. Hooker urges a future without a violence against women crisis in Australia is possible.
Sexual violence is really preventable. It's highly prevalent, you know, one in five women, but it is preventable. But we must address the root causes. So that's gender inequality, you know, misogyny and sexism and harmful masculinities. But there's also a level of resistance to change by our government. And so those things need to be addressed.
Dr. Lisa Hooker, Senior Research Fellow at La Trobe University, ending that report by me.